How many remember or have a moment in your life where somebody said, "Wow, do you look like your father or your mother?" Or you're acting just like them. I remember, I think I turned 40 and I did a funeral or something, and the neighbor we grew up with her, she was older, but she walked up to me and said, "Today you look like your father." And the beautiful thing about that is this is the whole concept of God in a nutshell, that we become his children. And as his children, we have his nature. So I want to get started in 1 Corinthians 16. It says this. And I kind of backed up a verse just to, thought it kind of was just interesting to put in there. "But concerning Apollos, our brother, I encourage him greatly to come to you with the brethren, and it was not in his heart to come now." I don't know. I think it's kind of cool that, you know, Paul said, "Hey, why don't you go with the guys?" And he goes, "Nope, not in my heart right now." And that's typical for us today. We get to follow our hearts. We got a lot of opportunities. You know, why do we go where we go and all that? But anyway, I just thought that's kind of everyday life was going on with Paul and Apollos. And he says, "But he will come when he has opportunity." And that's why I tell the people all over the world, when I got opportunity, I'll be seeing you in Singapore, I'll be seeing you in Albania. And we just trust in the Lord. It says in verse 13, and I want to highlight, "Be on your alert. Stand firm in your faith. Act like men." Women. "Be strong. And let all you do be done in love." Boy, I just love that verse. I sometimes put it on the end of a letter or something, a message to people. Love to think about it myself. Be on the alert. And that's so key in life. Just pick up your head. Look around. And then stand firm in the faith. Stand. Sometimes you don't move. Sometimes you're not conquering anything. It's just a moment to stand. And that's a powerful thing. Act like men. Now, that would probably have to be defined a little bit, because we can't even define what a woman is anymore. Some people. But act like men, including the women, act like men. Stand. Be strong. Be stable. Don't be emotionally driven. Control your emotions. Rule them. Be quick to forgive. Be quick to listen. Be quick to understand and reach out. These are things that men do. Men are aware of the people around them and what they need. They're aware of taking care of people. And they're aware, as Mark said, like the centurion. You know, and I really do think, not to glorify the Roman soldiers, but they were tough. But, you know, you take a centurion, he had to understand what it was to stand to be a man. It was ruthless. I don't know about you, but if I got into a war, I'd rather shoot than be using swords. I felt like when I was young, you know, about 18, I thought I was listening to some stuff that probably wasn't right, but it's just talking about the end times and how many of us were going to die as martyrs. And I just finally said, "Okay, God, I'll be a martyr for you, but man, can it be something besides a knife?" I don't know why. I just don't like the idea of being cut. Shoot me and be a good shot. But anyway, stand like a man, and be like a man, and stand. And be under authority, and when you're under authority, you stand like a man and you know you have authority. Again, it's a sad thing when a man stands up and is a wimp and doesn't know who he is and doesn't know who he belongs to and doesn't know what his job is. It's a great thing to see men stand and women stand. And frankly, women do a better job sometimes than men, for sure. And be strong. And then the last verse there, "Let all that you do be done in love." That covers a multitude of things. Whenever you're doing anything, is this in love? And there's times you've got to discipline somebody. There's times you've got to rebuke somebody. There's times you've got to speak out to somebody. But let it be done in love. And it can be done in love, and it must be done in love, and then everything else. You know, Lisa and I went out. We didn't go out on Valentine's Day because it's awful crowded. So we went on Wednesday, or Thursday, I think, to a nice little restaurant in Custer that we like. And it's just, it's expensive, and I love it. I believe in some of my old farmer conservative ways, you might say, okay? Some of you might not like that, but one thing a man does is he's generous. And there's a young couple who came in, and they sat right next to us, and they were just talking loud enough that I could hear them. So they were just saying, yeah, we're from Chicago. I'm working, you know, out at Ellsworth, and this is my girlfriend. She just came from Chicago. And I thought maybe it's military or whatever. And as we got up to leave, I just said, Melissa had already left, and I just said to him, I overheard your conversation. And I said, so you're working at, yeah. I said, I'm not in military, but I'm just doing HVAC out there. And I just said, oh, that's good. You know, blessed him. Threw $100 bill down on the table and just said, have a great night. You know, you say, well, why'd you do that? I don't know. There's times I'm so tight with money, I keep a $100 bill for months. And that was my last $100 bill in my billfold, but I just thought, be a man. Be generous. I'm not looking for any return. He doesn't have a clue who I am. And he did the right, you know, and he actually responded really great. He just goes, hey, thanks. That's all that was needed. Let me say this now. This is this kind of encapsulizing as the theme today that life is very complicated. It's a lot of decisions. It's a lot of things to decide on, but actually it comes down real simple. God makes it real simple for us. And our Heavenly Father, if you can kind of just really get this embedded in you, our Heavenly Father never asked us to do anything that He doesn't do. He never asks us to do anything that's contrary to His nature, the way He does things. You know, I had this embedded in me for some reason when I was in construction and all that, and I'd hire guys. I was kind of a little extreme, too much so, but I never wanted to ask my men to do something that I wouldn't do. And there's times you guys got to say, you guys got to go do that. But usually if it's a dirty job, I went and helped him. And I think I get that from my Heavenly Father. He never asks you to do anything that He doesn't do. And He never asks you to do anything that doesn't do with you. As Jody was just sharing, you know, the Lord is sharing with us. He's always with us, always with us. And even when you're messing up, isn't this amazing? I remember one of my friends, she was kind of messing up in high school and afterwards. She was a tough girl. She really her dad asked her not to be a Marine because he said, you can already beat up everybody in this town, every male in your class, and if you become a Marine, you're going to get tougher, and I'll never get a grandchild. But her mama just said, honey, whenever you're in trouble, no matter how you got there, call in the name of Jesus. And I thought, boy, that's contrary to a lot of people. They'd say, man, don't you know, I've heard parents say, boy, you mess up, don't come home. And that was more out of just fear that they would mess up and hoping they would not mess up because they threatened them. And then when the girl got pregnant, she didn't come home. Because her daddy said, don't come home. Our Father's not like that. Our Father is with us. It's a strange thing, but in the midst of your sin, He's still with you and still there to help you. And He's still being a man, and He's still doing everything in love, and everything He does in love. And so when you think about this, I'm going to read Second Peter now. It says this, and Simon Peter, a bondservant of an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind of ours, By the righteousness and peace, by the righteousness of our God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Won't teach on it now, but grace and peace being multiplied is an incredible concept. It's not addition. Addition goes up slow. Multiplication really goes fast. And so grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge. And so why do we study the word and why we come together? Because of the knowledge of God. As we increase the knowledge of God in our life, we increase the grace and the peace. So many people don't have peace in their life, but they're not gaining the knowledge of God. And their mind's not on the things of God. And the Bible says if you keep your mind on the things of God, you will have peace in your life. And I'm telling you, we got just, I'm dealing with several people now, right now, that they got all kinds of disease, you know, autoimmune diseases and all that. And so much of that is generated out of stress and not being at peace. Your body just cannot ward off all the evil if it doesn't come to a place of peace. And seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. This is one of my foundational speaking thing. I speak all the time. Everything pertaining to life and godliness has already been granted to me by the Father. It's not something I got to beg him for. It's not something he knows everything I need before I need it, but it isn't. But you still got to do the rules, which is ask. But he has everything pertaining to life and godliness. So when you're entering into situations that are tough, you don't know what you're going to do. You don't know how you're going to get through it. Just remind yourself, everything I need to pertain to life and godliness has been given to me by my Heavenly Father. And he's generous. Glory to God. Seeing that the divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him. Again, we got to find out who he really is, who called us by his own glory and excellence. Now, this is just saying this is like a famous man or a billionaire or whatever else. He's got all the stuff, and he invites you to his company. He invites you to his family. He invites you to his business. And it's like, why did he do that? Because of his own virtue, his own quality, his incredibleness. He is something else, and he invited you. You didn't ask first. He invited you first. And this is our God. It says, by these, by his own virtue, by his glory and excellence, for by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. When you and I stand on his promises, I used AI on this message a little bit. This is the only part I used AI on. I said, how many promises are there in the New Testament? And they said, well, over 1,000. And he said, it depends on what you call promise, depends on what you read. But he said, most scholars say about 700 to 1,200 promises in just the New Testament, not counting the Old Testament. And by standing on these promises, he said, by believing for these promises, by speaking these promises out, by having the faith that they've already been granted to you, that he has already been generous, you partake of his nature. Now, this is where it really gets simple. If you understand this, you'll have a lot less chance of ever being deceived by somebody or being ripped up or stolen from or whatever. If you understand this little simple concept, you do not have to white knuckle, use your willpower to do the right thing. In fact, it's just slowing you down. And people, if you listen to a new believer or something, they'll just say, I'll say something, man, walk in love and forgiveness. I'm trying. I'm really trying hard. That's your problem. You're really trying. You think you really got to come up with this. You think that you're going to fail because you know you, and you know you haven't got what it takes to do it. That you're weak and you're feeble. And you let your emotions run you, and you have fear. And so you look at that, and you go, I'll never make it because I just can't do it. I tried and tried. And you have heard this from people you know. I'm trying. I'm really trying. No, that's not how this works. The kingdom of God does not work like this kingdom. It may work in this kingdom, but to have willpower and to white-knuckle it and tough it out and prove to everybody you're the man in this kingdom in the wrong. But in the kingdom of God, a man knows this. He's under authority. He belongs to God, and therefore he has what he needs from the Father. And now he just speaks it. And he partakes of the nature. You know, there's people that just say, well, I want to start being generous, but it's hard on me, man. I work hard for my money, and I don't like to, you know, and I don't like to just give to people and et cetera. You know, I was in Prague, and there was guys, you know, begging on the side of the street. It was cold out. They had their little tin can there, and I mentioned it to my spiritual son there. I said, yeah, what are these guys doing? He said, well, they're begging, but he said, some of them are way richer than you and me. They've just learned they can make a lot of money off tourists doing that. Isn't that crazy? I have a doctor friend. He worked out at Fort Meade, and he was talking to a vet once, and he said, man, you got some cancer. We need to take it out. How about we schedule the surgery around December 10th? He said, nope, no, 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 no. I said, why not? And he said, no, I'll have to do it after the first of the year. Why? What do you got going on? All right, so that's when I go to Chicago and beg. He said, I make too much money. I can't afford to. Isn't that something? Right here in our little town, somebody just said, I can make more money begging, you know. Listen, in the kingdom of darkness, all that stuff may work for you, but in the kingdom of light, we walk in a different rule, and what we work in is this, that by, we don't get generous because we feel guilty. I didn't give to that young man because I felt, oh, this is the right thing, you know, I should do this or whatever. It just came out of me. Why? Because I'm partaking and you're partaking of the promises of God. We're standing on those promises. And as we do, his divine nature starts manifesting in our life. It just starts growing like a crop. And it starts growing and so it harvests. And all of a sudden, you're just finding out, man, I'm just like my dad. He's generous, I'm generous. He's not worried, I'm not worried. He's powerful, I'm powerful. He speaks and the mountains move, I speak. I speak and the tree dies. Be careful what you say sometimes. Don't get too mad at your apple tree. You might curse it and then be dead. But we partake of his divine nature. And how do we do that? By standing on those promises. And how do we do that? 1 John 4:19 says this, we love because he first loved us. Again, keep this in mind. He loved you first. He loved you first. He wanted you first. I just did a wedding yesterday, and they wrote their own vows out. Man, they wrote like 6 pages. It was awesome. Man, promise after promise. I will. I do. Man, it was awesome. It was, and, you know, they both had been through a lot of heartache and relationships that broke their hearts and ripped their bodies in half, and they were saying, you know, they came to a place of trust, they came to a place of love. It was awesome. And I think, you know, it's so sweet to see. When you see a man really in love, it's phenomenal. It's a little sad, but it's really phenomenal. But, I mean, when he looks like Pepe Le Pew, and I know some of you probably have no idea who Pepe Le Pew is. Anybody know who Pepe Le Pew is? Oh, thank God, there's some people that grew up with Carmen. Well, Pepe Le Pew is my hero because, you know, he's just a romantic French skunk that fell in love with a cat that got a white tail because she crawled underneath a bench that had white paint on it. So he thought she was a skunk, and he followed her wherever she went. And our Jesus is a Pepe Le Pew. He is head over heels in love with you. Long before you were anything. Before the foundation of the world, he was in love with you. He loves you. How do we walk in his nature? The very thing that we have to do is receive his love. And guess what? Receiving his love, there's only one factor that everything is complete. Everything is done. Everything has been wrapped up. Everything is given. Everything is yours except for one little small thing. You have to choose to receive it. People say, I don't feel God's love. I say, we got to choose. It's all there. It's been there forever. He'll be there forever. He'll be there tomorrow. He'll be there after you destroy your life. He'll be there. His love is eternal. He is love. He can't be anything else. That's his nature. The only thing that can slow it down is you not choosing it. But don't think that's that easy, because we're fighting everything in our mind. We're fighting everything in our experiences. We're fighting everything that has hurt us and disappointed us. And so we're scared, but it is our deal now. We love because he first loved us. And as we sang over and over, part of my note says over and over. I just love it, Audrey. Over and over. What happens? Return to your first love over and over. Return, 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 return. Whenever you walk away from it, return to your first love. He loved you first. It's not about you loving him first. It's about you receiving his love. That's the first love that we are supposed to, in the book of Revelation, is return to your first love. It's return to the one who loved you first. In John 15:10, it says this. This is, if you keep my commandments, or I like to say instruction. If you keep my instruction, you will abide in my love. Just as I kept my Father's instruction and commandments, and I abide in his love. So rather than having a life, and it's okay, you know, we used to sing this song, first I'm up and then I'm down. I forget how it went now. Shouldn't have said that. But, you know, we had this little jingle we did on the construction site once in a while. You know, first I'm up, then I'm down. That's the life I live, you know, and it's like, well, then let's live some other life. What a miserable place. When I was in high school and I was trying to serve the Lord, but I was really involved, I had this call in my life to be with people, and I looked back and I felt really guilty. Then I looked back and said, shoot, I was just in high school, man. I didn't know what the heck was going on. My flesh was rising up and my spirit man was rising up, and we had a battle inside of me. And I'd go, you know, and I just, but I just, some of you heard my story, but one night I just said, Lord, if I'm not going to serve you, take my life tonight. I don't want to live here. And what did that come from? It came from just this incredible, yucky, miserable feeling of being up and then being down, being, you know, wanting to serve the Lord, then just wanting to be, you know, in the flesh. And I was just miserable with that up and down life. And though God will stick with you through it all, you can, you know, get excited about him, then fall away. And people say, oh, yeah, I was, and then I fell away, then I came back, and that's good. Do as long as you want. But there is a place you can come to where you just say, I'm not leaving anymore. I'm not going to return to my first love. I'm going to stay abiding in his love. I'm going to just dwell in his love. I'm going to let him love me in the midst of everything. And part of that means you got to come to that knowledge that you really are forgiven, past, present, and future, and you do not have to carry the shame anymore. And then you receive his love. By the way, that's the quickest way to get out of anything that you're doing that you shouldn't do, is receive his love. And when you receive his love, you receive his nature. When you got his nature, you can stand up and be a man. You can do everything in love. Romans 8:32 says this, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up, delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? It is a lie against the truth of Jesus when somebody says, well, God's just withholding that from you for a while because, you know, he wants to grow you up. He wants you to learn something. Well, of course he wants you to learn something. He wants you to learn who he is. But he doesn't withhold from you. We do that to each other. We withhold love sometimes because we're disappointed. Do you ever get the cold shoulder? Do you ever hear your spouse slamming cupboard doors? You ever see your man drive away? Gosh, I talk about it, I'm still embarrassed. That's us. That's not him. He does not withhold one good thing from us. He didn't withhold his own son, so that was the ultimate gift. So it's like, man, can you catch my nature here? If I didn't withhold him, I'm not withholding any good thing from you. I want you to get it all. But you got to do it in the kingdom way, and the kingdom way is, you receive my love. You accept it, receive it, feel it. I was just talking to Barb yesterday and missing her honey. A lot of you are missing your honeys. And she just said, I just want to feel him one more time. And her head just went over to the side and she felt him. It's awesome, isn't it? He doesn't withhold one good thing from us, including feeling him. I can't tell you how many times I've been a man all day long, being up for Jesus, helping people. And I get home and I just curl up and said, Jesus, hold me. Because to be a real man, you let your father hold you. You snuggle up on his breast and lay there. And of course, Jesus loves John more than anybody. It's just, if your name is John, you're blessed. You're the beloved. And you get to lay your head on the breast of Jesus when everybody else has to sit at the table. And I'm kidding. I hope you know that. There's plenty of room for every one of us to be his most favorite child. But you got to believe it, because he already does. So let him love you, and everything else will take care of itself. And you'll wake up one day and just say, my God, I really am a man of God. I have his nature, and I have his authority. Jesus, we love you, because you first loved us. Hug us, hold us. Let us cry on your shoulder. And then empower us to rise up in the morning and walk out into this dark world and beam like lights that bring forth the joy and the peace and the power and the healing of Jesus to everyone we meet. We look just like you, because you are inside us, and we're forever grateful. Amen. Well, if you can master that, you've got everything, okay? Keep working on it. Love you.